Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Thursday, November the 20th, I'm Chelsea Messenger. Dende in for Jenks. And in a few seconds, we're going to bring on Jonathan Peterlin, afternoon drive host on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. So, Den, right before we bring him on, I'm going to give you a question, and you hit the over or the under for me. Okay. So, I am going to say that on this station, I'm going to go 52% of the airtime is dedicated to Shedeur Sanders. You gonna go over or under?
I'm gonna go over. I mean, the Cavs played a tough one against the Rockets last night, but I'm gonna go over.
Yeah, I should have noted that. I meant for like when you're talking about the Browns, like 52% of Browns talk is on Shedeur Sanders.
Oh,
but let's
way over.
Go straight to this. Right, that's what I thought. Like, it's such an interesting, and it's something that gets the people going. Like, we know talk radio. It's not always about like, well, here's the real story for the Browns. No, people want to talk about the big names, and that's fine. But let's go straight to the source and ask him himself. Let's bring on Jonathan Peterlin now. He is the host of Afternoon Drive on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. So, Jonathan, let me ask you, same question. Over, under, 52% of the time when you guys talk about the Browns is dedicated to Shedeur Sanders.
It's got to be over, but like it's over depending on the week, right? Like this week, it's over by a mile. This week, not only just like the 5-hour show that I do, the 5-hour show, I laid out yesterday. We did one Cavs segment. We did like half of a segment on Bill Belichick's girlfriend being in competitive cheerleading and why that's a thing. And outside of that, it was like 4 hours and a half about Shedeur Sanders. And that's basically been the week. And so, yeah, I would take the over on that one pretty easily. But we have to, you know, we'd be stupid not to, right, guys?
I mean, intramural adult cheerleading at that, which is just, you know, baffling. What is the feeling, though, with Shedeur Sanders?
Well, what has been nice, so it's been very divisive. If you're in Shedeur's camp, if you're not in Shedeur's camp, it's been very, everyone's got an opinion, right? But what's been nice is that after watching him play on Sunday, and the fact that Browns couldn't move the football at all with Dylan Gabriel, the offense had just stalled out. His average depth of target, his ADOT had been a 5. Like, he had been one of the lowest passers in the league when it came to stretching the field. Shedeur didn't look good. No one can make that look good. It looked bad, but at least he was throwing the ball down the field, and at least he gave the offense a chance. And so the numbers look awful. Your eye test tells you it was awful. But at the end of it, the offense seemed like it had life. And so what's been nice this week is that I'd say like 95% of Browns fans are in the camp of like, all right, we don't know that this is going to work, but at least this is fun. At least this is exciting. And on a 2-8 football team, that's kind of really all we're asking for at this point.
Yeah, but I will say this, like, if there's ever a matchup that should be conducive to maybe some improvements from the offense, it's going against the Raiders. The Browns are 4-point dogs on the road to the Raiders this week. Should we expect more from Shedeur in the offense this week?
So you should, relative to the Ravens game, obviously, because it can only go up from the Ravens game, right? Here's where I would have some caution. So I believe in Shedeur. I think he's going to be good, and I think the Browns are going to get the win, which I think I said that 2 weeks ago, and they took on a Jets team that they should have easily beat, and they embarrassed me, okay? So like this team is on a mission, it feels like, at times, to not win games. So I would use this advice, you know, cautiously. Here's where I would give a little bit of a pause. And like when you guys talk about this on Monday, if the game goes sideways, I want you guys to look at the other factors around Shedeur Sanders and be like, did anybody really have a fair shake at it? Not only are the Browns dead last in PFF when it comes to offensive line ranking, they're dead last with a bullet, and it feels like that. Your left tackle is consistently in and out. Your right tackle and Jack Conklin, you know the name because he's been a Pro Bowler for a long time. He hasn't been the same guy in years. But like all across this line, it is a lot of old and injured, and it's just at a spot where it stinks. And so like the offensive line isn't good. The wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy's your number one, and people argued for years what he is. Is he a one? Is he a two? What exactly is here? There's not much talent on this offense. So if it doesn't look good, yes, this is the right setup to look good for Shedeur, but if it doesn't look good, I could argue I don't know who would look good with this offense.
Because of those offensive line issues, are you anticipating that they're going to move the pocket, move him out of the pocket a little bit? Because I do think that he made a couple of good throws when he was, you know, rolling out to his right side.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I'm glad you picked up on that because, you know, Shedeur in college, obviously, he got critiqued all the time for basically running backwards is what ends up happening, right? And we saw it in some of the preseason games as well, and you saw it in that game against the Ravens. And so I think Stefanski is going to try to do some stuff where he rolls out, but the problem there is that every now and then Shedeur just thinks he can do too much. I think he looks at that move where he just kind of goes backwards and spins out of it. Every now and again he can. I think he looks at that as like a feature, whereas I think the Browns look at it as a bug. So I'm interested to find out myself what they do because he's got to get rid of the ball quicker, and he doesn't have much time. So he's got to do something. But we've seen some big losses and some big plays that just end up being minus 12 yards, minus 13 yards when that happens and he tries to do that.
I wanted to ask you this because obviously you have boots on the ground, and sometimes – I think the picture that is painted nationally of players, especially ones that have a last name like Sanders, sometimes it's a little unfair and sometimes we don't get the full context of quotes. But like some of these videos and quotes that we've seen from Shedeur Sanders, maybe he's making his own bed here. But do you think the narrative of Shedeur Sanders and his personality has been painted fairly by the national media?
Well, I guess, like, to start that convo, then I'd have to know what you guys think and, like, what your perception of it is. Because at this point, we already know this is the sad part. Like, and I genuinely do want your opinion on it because it feels like I know the different players in the different parts of the national media that, like, are pro Shedeur and anything he does is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I know the ones that it feels like the man just cannot buy a win. The man could be making a case where he's donating $100,000 to charity and they'd be like, why isn't it $200,000? Like, it feels like that happens with him a lot. So, like, I want to know your starting point and then maybe we can go from there.
Well, I wanted to know about, you know, some of the quotes that he's given were, I think to myself, maybe just don't say anything. And when I say that, I don't mean mime. Like some of the ways that he's handled some of this, because I understand it's been unfair and I feel like he's been pitted against Dylan Gabriel. That's what I mean.
So the pantomiming was weird. There's no making any sort of like that was a normal reaction. The pantomiming was definitely weird. I told you that I'm at the front of this. Like I defend Shedeur more than I feel like most people, but that's not because of anything outside of I just think he's been given a very unfair shake more than anything. But on top of it, like the interactions I've had and then also what I've seen have led me to believe that there's a lot of really good there. And just from like a take the football side away of this, that's a really good, and we only know these athletes to a certain spot, so I'm very careful with this, but I can genuinely say like he seems like a really good, well-balanced human. And so like again, I can't justify the pantomiming thing. If that took you off, that took you off. But what I have seen is at training camp, for instance, he's the only player I saw wrap around the entire building and sign for an hour. You know what I mean? It seems like every other day we got a story about him either being out in the community, going to a local high school, and then donating a bunch of gifts, or like even just the other day, he donated to a mom that needed a ride to work, a brand new car. Like, and it's just like these type of stories have popped up every single week. And there's so many more that I've been told behind the scenes that have never even made it to be actual stories. Like, I think he's a genuine good dude. And you can tell that he also works really hard. Like, Like, some things people don't know is that when he wasn't getting enough reps on like with the Browns, he was going to one of the local colleges and throwing to the local wide receivers there on Fridays just to make sure he can get extra work in. And, like, you see those type of stories that have just popped up all the time with him. So I do give him the benefit of the doubt, and I think he's aced a lot of this in a way that I don't know that everyone really picks up on, because the stuff like the pantomiming was just weird. There's not really defending that.
I'm like kind of in the middle where I liked him in college. I'm a big college football guy, so I was like all over the Colorado stuff when it was happening, and I liked him in college. I didn't know that he should be drafted super high last year, but I thought he should have been drafted way before guys like Dylan Gabriel and Jalen Milroe. But I'm curious, because you are around, you know, Cam Newton came out here and said that Kevin Stefanski is trying to undermine Shador. What do you think their relationship is as someone that's actually around him?
So Kevin Stefanski seems like he really likes Dylan Gabriel, and he's liked Dylan Gabriel the entire time. Like, if you were to tell me how that draft day went down, I would make the suggestion that Kevin Stefanski, and maybe that includes Andrew Berry in this as well, because they always consider themselves collaborative. I always made the bet that they chose Dylan Gabriel, and I thought they rushed and chose Dylan Gabriel just so that they wouldn't be forced to take someone like Shador Sanders, so that Jimmy Haslam would be like, all right, we have our quarterback. You can't take two quarterbacks. And then you watched what happened. Where then how I see it and how I think it went down was that Jimmy Haslam came in and was like, all right, you're taking Shador Sanders. And they've been trying to deal with it the entire time. Now, maybe we find out that I'm just dead wrong on that assessment, but that's how I see it. And so I've always looked at it like Stefanski has Dylan Gabriel as his pet project. And then Shador is just kind of, he's just kind of there. And now he's in a chance to be the starter for this week. So he'll have first team reps. So get an opportunity. Like, if I was Stefanski, I'd look at this as like, this could save my job. If he's awesome with this bad offensive line and this bad offense, like, maybe you save my job. Maybe we keep this thing going. But Stefanski has just never really, at least through actions, appeared to view it that way. And so it's always been a little befuddling to me.
Huh. It's crazy that you say that. And that's why we have guests come on to tell us what's actually going on. But I did want to slide in one question that wasn't about Shador. Lost in the sauce is that Myles Garrett is having a banner year. 15 sacks in 10 games. Mm-hmm. He is on pace for 25 and a half sacks this year. Do you think he breaks the single season sack record?
I do. It's incredible to watch. The only hang up is that, and this just happens with pass rushers, as you guys know, like, as the season moves on, they're just not as quick and they just don't appear to be as fast, and it just their sack numbers go down. But we talked about how bad this Raiders team is. I've never walked into a game being like, I expect three or four sacks, but now it's almost like if he doesn't get three or four against Geno, who's been sacked with top five in quarterbacks that have been sacked this year, I think he's fourth on that list, you're almost like, wait, what happened? What's amazing, here's the part I want to focus for you guys, because this is the part that is, I think, getting missed in the big picture conversation of it. The players around Miles, everyone's like, they're going to be the benefactors of this. You take Mason Graham at number five overall. You add Malik Collins. They're like, they're going to be the benefactors of playing with Miles, the way that we've always kind of talked about this with Miles. But it feels like they're actually benefiting Miles in a big-time way, because there's pass rush coming from everywhere. Alex Wright, Isaiah McGuire, Malik Collins, Mason Graham, all these guys are just constantly giving off pressure, and it's helping out Miles in a big way. Lamar Jackson sack number three on Sunday. Like, that doesn't happen in years past, but it happens now because you have pressure from other guys, and then they just funneled Lamar right into Miles' hands. And so there's been a lot of cool out of this, and it's been cool to see Miles just kind of take his game to another level, because he is unquestionably the best in the business.
Absolutely. And I will say this, if the defense plays well, it puts less pressure on a young quarterback to score a bunch of points. And I think that's going to be the case this week, as we see a total that continues to absolutely sink to 36 points between the Raiders and the Browns. Great stuff today from Jonathan Peterlin. He is the Afternoon Drive host on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Great stuff today. You've given us a lot to think about.
Well, thanks for having me, guys, and thanks for hitting the over, too. We hit the over in this interview.
yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of Shador talk in that segment, but it's just an interesting case. And listen, I wasn't prepared for some of those answers. Honestly, I thought Kevin Stefanski did not care and all he cared about was winning games, but I'm obviously not there at practice. I'm not there at camp. So that was really interesting to hear that.
Yeah, really good stuff. You know, that relationship with Stefanski and Gabriel has always been fascinating to me, because I do think he's right that Stefanski sees something in Dylan Gabriel that, quite honestly, I don't see. I don't know that you see. I don't know that many people have seen. I'm pulling for Shador to not suck this weekend. I don't think he's going to blow the doors off. You know, my expectations are realistic for what he is as a player, but I just hope he doesn't suck. It's going to be rage bait no matter what happens. You know, if he does play well, there's going to be people that are anointing him as the future of the franchise. And then on the flip side, if he's bad, there's going to be people that are, you know, dancing on his downfall. I don't find myself in either of those camps. I just want to see what he's actually made of at the NFL level. You know, I'm like weird about this sort of stuff, Chelsea. I love watching players in college that are good and then making that successful transition to the next level. But, you know, I have seen a lot of guys in college the same way that you've seen a lot of guys in college who are really, really good, and they get to the NFL and they are really, really not good.
It's wild. Like, you would think that if you can be a good quarterback in, like, the SEC, like some of these guys that I covered, like when I covered Auburn and Alabama and Georgia, like, Aaron Murray had, like, crazy college numbers. And I understand, like, he's small, he's not an NFL prototype. But, like, you'd think that there would be some carryover, and there's just not.
Nothing. Manziel's another great example. Hits home for Cleveland, but Manziel's another great example. Heisman Trophy winner, does a bunch of crazy stuff, gets to Cleveland, and then for a number of reasons, it just never works.
Yeah, I think there was some other stuff baked into that one as well. But I was dead wrong on Johnny Manziel. I thought he was going to be awesome. Sad to see. All right, coming up next, best bets come your way in mere minutes on the Daily Tip. It's after the break. Next.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Time to land the plane. Final segments of the Daily Tip here on a Thursday. We'll get to our best bets in a mere moment here on the show. Din Day and for Jinx. Before we get to that, though, I want to ask you this, Din, because this is a choice that I have to make almost weekly, because at least once a week, me and my husband will go get ourselves a breakfast sandwich. And they have all these options on what bread you can use. So I want to ask you, what is the correct vehicle, a.k.a. bread, for a breakfast sandwich? Is it A, a biscuit? Is it B, a bagel? Is it C, a croissant? Or is it D, none of the above?
All right, well, so it's very much not D. You can get a lot of good stuff with there, with the three that you had given. So here, I have a follow-up question, because this is important. What kind of protein are you also having with the breakfast sandwich? Bacon, sausage, turkey sausage, maybe chicken sausage? Like, what is the meat?
Okay, so it's a bacon, egg, and cheese.
All right, so a bacon, egg, and cheese in Nashville is best on a biscuit. If you were more northern, the biscuits aren't good up north, you want to go on a bagel. Now, if you're really feeling yourself, you go a croissant. But in Nashville, I'm saying biscuit. Final answer.
Does it everything have to be regional? That's like when people are like, do you love Nashville hot chicken? It's like, no, not really. Do I have to love it? I think biscuits are honestly a little too heavy for me in the morning. Like, I like biscuits by themselves, but with the sandwich, it's like kind of crumbly and it's just really heavy. Like, I don't know what type of biscuits you're eating, but like the ones that are just, they're dense. So I think for me, I've been having croissants. I like that it's like a little flaky and light, and I don't think it weighs down the other flavors. Because sometimes when you eat a bacon, egg, and cheese on a biscuit, a lot of the flavor is the biscuit. Do you get what I'm saying? So I think my favorite is croissant, followed by bagel. Bagel's good too.
Bagels are great. And also, it depends what kind of bagel. So like, I have a breakfast sandwich every day. I go home and I make it. Big on Asiago bagels at the moment. You know, a little bit of turkey sausage and egg with some hot sauce on an Asiago bagel is perfect. If I'm really feeling myself, Chelsea, I'll go get a pretzel bun. And I'll a pretzel Ooh. Bun for a breakfast sandwich will change your life if you've never tried it.
Mm. See, they have an option there where it's pretzel bun, it is ham, it is avocado, and it is egg. So, like, there's no bacon involved, which makes me a little sad. But that's, like, my bougie option. It's not an everyday option, but something if I want to do something a little different. Because normally for me, it's bacon, egg, and cheese on a croissant, or it's the pretzel bun, Swiss, ham, and egg. Like, it's something, you know, uppity like that.
Yeah, that's very uppity. I spent an enormous amount of money when I was in college at Sheetz because it was within walking distance. And, you know, Liberty had a bit of a curfew thing. I would just kind of not follow that at all. So I'd be going to Sheetz at like, you know, midnight, 1 a.m., whatever it is, with a bunch of the homies. But I'd constantly get a breakfast sandwich with maple chicken sausage, eggs, hot sauce, maybe some onions. I didn't have a girlfriend, so that worked. And then a pretzel bun. And that's like the killer Sheetz. It just they destroy it, and it was so good. Like, I'm talking hundreds of dollars over the courses of semesters at Sheetz on that sandwich.
Onions?
Oh yeah, a little bit of a crunch. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, I feel like people are either team onions or team no onions, and I am very staunchly team no onions. I feel like they don't do anything. Like, I'll add them to chili or something that needs flavor, but I don't want to taste the texture of them. It feels like worms to me.
What kind of onions are you having?
Those little worms. White ones. You know what I'm talking about.
Mine, like, see, they were a little crisp at Sheetz. So there's like a crunch to them, but it's like a fun crunch, not a bad crunch.
I don't know. Pass. I like the normal ingredients on my bacon, egg, and cheese. And that's what I'm sticking with because I'm a traditional gal. All right, let's get to who we have the most faith in today when it comes to our bets. All right, best bet for both of us, it looks like, is going to be on Thursday Night Football. All right, Den, you are the guest host today, so you get to bat leadoff. What you got?
All right, so I got a couple no basketball ones today. Learned my lesson. Had a big bet on the Warriors last night. Found out no one was playing. They didn't give us that information at 8:45 Eastern time yesterday. So I'm shying away from basketball today. I'm going to go Nick Chubb over 20.5 yards, rushing yards, against the Bills tonight on Thursday Night Football. I think this is going to be a big running game for Houston. I just don't think that you can put Davis Mills out there for a third week in a row and ask him to throw 40 times and expect the results to be positive. So I think they're really going to key in on the running backs. And on top of that, Buffalo has a weakness in the run defense. That's something they can really take advantage of. Houston is fighting for a playoff spot. You know, they're on the outside looking in if the playoffs started today. And not only that, they're third in their division, in a division where they were supposed to win. So I'm expecting a lot from Houston today. I think they're going to play like a desperate football team, and I think Nick Chubb is going to be one of the beneficiaries of that. So I'm going Nick Chubb over 20.5 yards.
Yeah, and it's a low number. So when you start handicapping this game, the best matchup on paper is anybody going against this rush defense of the Bills, who's giving up 5.4 yards per carry. That is the second worst mark in the NFL. So you got to pick a running back. So the problem is, Woody Marks is running back number one currently for the Texans. But if you look at his last game against the Titans, he had 18 carries for 44 yards. That is 2.4 yards per carry. So I'm expecting more of an even split here, and I think they revert back to what they were doing a few weeks ago. And plus, Nick Chubb gets a 20.5. That's a low number. You know, he's hit this in three of his last four games, and he hasn't even gotten that many carries. So I'm going to rely on Nick Chubb more here. I'm going to hit the over on his rush prop of 20.5. I do think this is going to be a closer game, so I don't see the Texans abandoning the run, especially when Davis Mills is your cornerback. So that's going to be the best bet for me. All right, other bets here, Den. What else you got?
So I got another Nick Chubb bet. I thought about potentially parlaying this, Chelsea, and then I decided, no, I'm just going to take two straight bets, give myself a better opportunity to win, and I'm going to take Nick Chubb over 5.5 carries. So I'm really banking on the fact that they're going to let him get a healthy amount of work tonight and have him run the football. So I think he's going to go over 5.5 carries. I think he's going to go over 20.5 yards. It really shouldn't be that hard. Just give him the ball 7 times, let him get 22 yards, and everyone's going to be happy and healthy. So I'm going Nick Chubb over 5.5 carries.
Yeah, I like that. I know we don't track units on this show, but I feel like if I were to play that, I would split a unit in half and put it on the yards and the carries. That way, like, you're not sunk underwater if, like, you know, Nick Chubb doesn't have a big game or a medium-sized game, according to these numbers. All right, next up for me, I'm going to go to Josh Allen. Feels like a dependable guy, right? I think the matchup kind of warrants that you go with Josh Allen to have a big game with his legs here. Because if you look at the Texans' defense against the pass, they're one of the best secondaries in the NFL, at least according to numbers, allowing the fewest yards per attempt of any defense in the NFL. So I think Josh Allen takes over this game on the ground, as we saw last game against the Tampa Bay Bucks, where he ran for 3 touchdowns and had 40 yards on the ground. So it is a high number tonight at 33.5, but this is a primetime game, and a lot of his receiving options are also on the injured list. So I think it's a Josh Allen game with his legs.
I am going to agree with you, but we're going to take a very different angle on this one. My final bet is a Josh Allen bet, but I need to preface this. I am not putting my hard-earned American dollar on this bet. This is a promo bet. This is a token bet. If you get a free bet at BetMGM, this is how you use the free bet at BetMGM. I'm taking Josh Allen, 2+ touchdowns at +525. He's done this 4 times already this season. He did it the last time we saw him on the field. He went for 3. And because they are limited in their receiving options, and Josh Allen is honestly just better in short yardage situations than the running backs that are actually on the roster because he's so massive, I like Josh Allen when they get to the goal line to do it himself. So I'm going to take Josh Allen, 2+ touchdowns, +525, using a BetMGM promo bet that does not require me to use my hard-earned American currency.
Yeah, those are the type of bets you use with the promo bets. I still feel like there's a pathway for Josh Allen to win another MVP award this year. He's +450, and it just feels to me like he has the added benefit of being so good with his legs. Like, I understand, like, Matt Stafford is scrappy, and so is Drake May, but they're not on the same level as Josh Allen. Like, the passing numbers, obviously, are way better with Matt Stafford and Drake May right now. I'm just saying, at that price, I still think it's in the realm of possibility for Josh Allen to still win MVP.
Especially considering the talent that he has. Like, if you were just a blind rank talent with the Patriots, the Rams, and the Bills from a skill position, you know, perspective, the Rams are the clear top of those three. You put the Patriots next, and then you put the Bills. He still doesn't really have a true number one wide receiver. Yeah, James Cook's a really good running back, so I'm not going to take anything away from him. But he doesn't have a true number one wide receiver, and he's still putting up the caliber of numbers that he is. And on top of that, he has 6 touchdowns in a game. If he does that for a second time, I mean, that's a crazy number to have.
Right, and we saw that this matters to voters last year because Lamar Jackson had wild numbers. Lamar Jackson had 41 touchdowns to 4 picks. I repeat, 41 touchdowns to 4 picks last year and did not win in the MVP. That's crazy.
Insane. There were people that were very rightfully upset about that. But I think you're right. I think Josh Allen could absolutely win it again this year. And because it's so close on the odds board with Drake May and Matt Stafford, it does feel like the play, if you're late to the game, the play would be on Josh Allen, not on one of those two other guys.
Right, unless people are like, hey, we gave it to Josh Allen last year, let's pick somebody new. I feel like Drake May does that, have that going for him, because people are like, Matt Stafford has already had so much success. Let's go with the shiny new toy in Drake May.
Stafford, I think he's playing so well, though. And not that I think he needs this, but it would cement him as a first ballot Hall of Famer if he wins MVP. He's already going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he'll be first ballot. He's already going to be a Hall of Famer, though. But an MVP, I think, would cement him as first ballot Hall of Famer.
I mean, whatever your take is on Matt Stafford, like, the fact that he is still playing at this high of a level is damn impressive. Because there were people coming into the season, they're like, Matt Stafford's going to be held together by Gorilla Glue. You can't trust the Rams. Look at the Rams. Look at Matt Stafford. Toughest player in the NFL, it feels like. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Daily Tip. Have a great Thursday. Best of luck on all your bets. We will see you same place, same time, 6 a.m. in the East, here on the Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.